Welcome to Beeline, your 95 BFM news podcast, delivering straight up news.
Kia ora and welcome to this week's episode of Beeline, where we talk about the recently proposed NCEA overhaul. In Education Minister Erica Stanford's speech announcing the decision, she constantly talked about how it would affect parents. I want your parents to know that we are ambitious for your kids. Parents can't help their children improve their grades when they don't know what they mean. I know parents of Year 8 students will be thinking that their children would be the first cohort under the proposed new qualification. Discussions of our young people and our children. For discussions about a system overhaul that will directly affect students, there are very few assurances given to said students. The opinions and concerns of the hundreds of thousands of people who have been through NCEA aren't addressed. This seems to be a change directed primarily at parents, despite the experience of young people with NCEA and the needs of students who will be most affected. In this week's episode, I wanted to highlight the perspectives that have been mostly ignored in discussions about the change. I began by chatting with two high school students, Jed and Kenna Himena, about their experiences and thoughts about NCEA.
For me, NCEA is more of like, it's flexible in terms of students are able to achieve at their own pace and are able to achieve stuff outside of the classroom that sort of suits their needs rather than just going throughout one standard and then sort of trying to follow one like pathway. So we're able to gain things through Gateway or, you know, just trying other things that are outside of the usual standard.
Yeah, I think NCEA overall is a great system for people who aren't good under time pressure. For the end of year examinations, I think the confidence that you get from gaining credits throughout the year, you'll get to a point in the middle of the year where you're like, okay, I'm really on track to passing, I have enough credits. And I think older systems did not have that at all. The only confidence you could get was, I guess, practice examinations or your teachers giving you confidence with that. I think there are definitely issues with NCEA. For example, some of the timetabling with different subjects coinciding with their big internals at the same time with mock exams. That's obviously a potentially inter-school issues, not to do with the entire standard. But yeah, overall, I agree. I think NCEA is a good overall system for a lot of students.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about, you know, the different things that people can do to get credits. It's been brought up as one of the criticisms of NCEA that some people can be gaming the system, you know, getting credits where they might not deserve them. Do you think that's a fair criticism of NCEA?
I think it is potentially a consideration that a lot of students have different ways of learning and different pathways throughout NCEA. Surely the solution for that is to have requirements for each standard, different levels of numbers of external examinations that they have to do. Surely that would be a much better way of fixing that problem than scrapping the entire system. I think also the phrase gaming the system kind of discredits a lot of students who were in alternate pathways that is not the kind of standard, does really well in English, maths, statistics. I think it's a bit inconsiderate of a much larger group of students that don't follow the standard procedure.
I'd have to agree with you on that one, especially sort of knowing that students are able to gain in their own sort of achieving levels, that NCEA is not rather a competition, but rather one person's journey throughout high school. I'm sure that those who are gaming the system aren't doing it because they want to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because they would really like love to just get the max level of NCEA credits. It's more of the fact that that's the only way that they're able to achieve it and achieve the same sort of level of learning. It's a bit more of equity rather than something that should be seen as sort of like not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more of just a way that's right for them to understand how to achieve in life.
Yeah, and a lot of these NCEA changes that we're looking at, right, it's been targeted at parents, a lot of these announcements. You know, looking at the switch back to an exam-based system, right, that's something that many of our parents would be used to and familiar with. Do you think we should be switching back to a solely exam-based system, or do you think there's some benefits to having this variation?
I think there's sure quite a lot more benefits than there is for like negative things. For end of years, for a lot of students, that's seen as quite of like something that they stress or they panic over. I think by knowing that you're secure throughout the year is that your whole entire year is not solely based on an exam at the end, and that the learning that you've done throughout the year, it can still be able to take you somewhere. Mm. And I think that one person's learning and their way of sort of performing within an exam might not be as well as assessments throughout the year. There's also alternative sort of pathways. That's sort of why I decided to go with NCA over Cambridge, was because I like to know that I'm secure throughout the year rather than having to base it all off at the end.
In the bursary system, or the national certificate system, about 20 years ago, there was a much bigger focus on the external exams. And I think the reason that they switched to NCEA was because that system catered to a very small group of students that did well in those exams, that did well under time pressure. And those students who do well under time pressure are going to do well in any kind of situation, any kind of system of learning. So the switch to NCEA, I believe, was a good decision by the government, by the Ministry of Education, because it caters to a much wider student body. I think in terms of exams in general, I think they don't properly prepare you for the workforce. I think the opportunities that NCEA gives you with Gateway and with other kind of, I guess, I don't know, trade situations that you can get into with NCEA gives you a much better idea of the wider world rather than sitting down for 3 hours and writing two essays.
Yeah. And then on the parents thing as well, another thing that's been brought up is, you know, parents being confused by the NCEA system, not understanding how it works. Do you think that's something we should be focused on? And do you think that's the fault of the NCEA system or something else?
In all honesty, I feel as though it's not the student's job to make their parents understand, but rather the parent's job to sort of interact more within the school to be able to understand the system that their children are sitting. And I feel like by switching it back to the old way to suit the parent rather than the student, it's sort of hard for a student to sort of be able to understand that fully as they make the switch. I feel as though it's sort of a thing where the parents should be more interactive within the school to understand that rather than the student's job to sort of get confused within that system.
If the system is good overall and the issues are to do with parents not understanding, surely the solution is to then educate the parents, put some resources out into helping parents understand the system rather than changing it back to a system that didn't work for a number of reasons.
And if we're thinking about, I guess, changes more broadly now with the Ministry of Education, you know, these changes, they don't look like changes that have had a lot of student lead on them, right? That in the discussions around them, it's been focused on the parents, it's been focused on that sort of thing. Students, I'm talking to right now, right? What sort of things do you think the Ministry of Education should be looking into improving in our education system?
I think it's sort of the application of what we're learning. I think a lot of the problems that are made with NCA is that, especially the end of years, is that students are seeing that they should sit certain exam subjects and learn certain material, but a lot of that I've sort of heard is like not related to what they can be able to apply to in like the real world. I think NCA is good in sort of that standard where, you know, for they offer sort of credits for you to go get your driver's license, so that's sort of like a motive for them to go do that. I feel as though by switching it back to a system where it's based solely on subjects, there's not a lot of real world application for that. So in there saying that by switching it back, you know, they're able to sort of prepare us better for the real world, I think that's sort of a weak point for them, especially because NCA right now is, it's at a point where students are able to go figure out other things rather than just sitting in a classroom all the time.
Yeah, it's like NCA is on this path towards giving people a bigger idea of what they're doing in the real world, and it should be going further along that path, but instead they're taking it backwards. Yeah,
I think that most of my peers that I've talked to about this subject would agree with you that NCA is overall a much better system of preparing you for a modern New Zealand. We've mentioned a couple of the issues that we have with NCA, where it's like timetabling issues or it still not representing a kind of modern learning style. But I think a lot of the issues that the Ministry of Education has brought up is more to do with parents understanding and people being able to game the system, which honestly isn't something that any of the students I've kind of been interacting with have noticed.
Yeah.
So I think that, NCA does need changes, but not the changes that they're proposing.
And what kind of changes, you know, what kind of changes would you like to see to NCA?
I think for NCA, it's sort of just kind of updating the current standards so that a lot of the subjects and a lot of the material and topics that we're learning of is relevant to us rather than what they want us to learn, but what we need to learn. I think a lot of that involves sort of like the importance of voting or, you know, or being able to understand tax. I think for a lot of students, it's sort of just gaining those basic things before trying to rewrite the whole system.
Yeah, fully agree. I think those things about learning how to do tax and learning how to write a CV are something that a lot of schools struggle with teaching, and I think more of that needs to be shown in NCA.
Yeah, it's coming to me now. The school offers Cambridge and NCA systems, right, for the students to go through. And Cambridge, their system, IGCSE ASA2, very similar, right, to the school cert system, you know, in its approach of you learn all the stuff and then you do exams after. Mm. Is there, you know, a difference in the students and their performance, and do you think it's a difference that when you're looking at the Cambridge system, do you go, oh, that's better, or do you think it's different and they have merits or worse?
That is definitely an attitude that a lot of people have. They look at Cambridge students and they say, oh, they're the smart ones, they're the overachievers, which I think is potentially a bit true. Like the students that do Cambridge are often higher achievers in academic education, and I think that that's the reason why they kind of strive in that system. I think our school having those dual pathways is quite good because it effectively solves the problem of the one system not catering to everybody. So our school effectively does cater to everybody because the students who are quite high achievers and want to focus on the external exams can do Cambridge, and the students like me and Kenna who feel better during the year getting internals and getting credits, we can choose NCA.
I think a main thing that I point out, especially to parents that are interested in either pathway, I think what I always point out to them is the difference between how they learn. So what I tell the Cambridge sort of interested students, I tell them that a lot of the time you're just doing tests throughout the year, and then your main bit is that you either pass or fail your end of year. And then I tell the other students that if you're going for a more of like a easier approach or like something that you feel more secure in, I'd say to take NCA, especially if you perform well over assessments rather than an end of year. In terms of how students interact, I feel as though, although people do say that Cambridge students are smarter, I feel as though that's their strength. But I don't think that success should be based solely on academics, as a lot of NCA students also, they sort of look towards other things, such as different sort of subjects that are not offered.
Yeah, like is there a Cambridge health class?
I don't think so.
Exactly.
They don't have a lot of arts subjects.
And that flexibility of NCA, right, the fact that it covers a lot of these subjects, do you think that would be missed out on if we switched to a school cert system? You know, I remember from being in high school, there's some subjects that, you know, have very few externals or might not even have any at all. You know, they benefit from having that internally assessed system. Do you think we would lose that if we switched to school cert?
I feel like as though we would, especially sort of like the students' attitude towards wanting to take that subject.
Yeah.
I feel as though with subjects that don't have externals, for a lot of them, it's because the students would rather focus on certain things over a period of time rather than having to rush material and to revise it over a short period to study for one exam.
Yeah.
I've also heard that NCA is a much broader education style per subject than Cambridge. Like, NCA will cover 10 topics in, let's say, maths quite broadly, whereas Cambridge will dive into 3 very deeply. And I think that's also an important consideration when switching back to the other system. Like, what level of broadness are we going to study in each subject? That's just, I don't know, it's something that the Ministry of Education has to think about. And something that they need to tell us because a lot of people are confused, a lot of people don't know what the changes are going to look like. So I think them getting the word out is the most important thing right now.
Yeah. If you guys had one message, I used to finish this out, to Erica Stanford and the Ministry of Education, what would it be?
I think for me is, what would your plans be for students that aren't able to achieve first off the year 11, or those who drop out halfway throughout the year, and what does that mean for them in the future if they're not able to achieve that certain certificate? Does that mean that all the learning that they've done up to then is then useless, or whether that they can sort of salvage that somewhere else?
And my message for you, Erica Stanford, is educate the parents.
Yeah.
If the problem with the system is it's too confusing, it's not the problem with the system. It's a problem with people's understanding.
Yeah.
I feel like, get some resources out there, get some parents educated, problem solved.
Next, I spoke to President of Post-Primary Teachers Association, Te Wehenga Rua, Chris Abercrombie, about the changes from a teacher's point of view, particularly on workload. So we've seen from the current government numerous efforts to change and or fix the education system in Aotearoa. Are there issues with the education system at the moment, and what do they look like for teachers and students?
This is a really interesting idea, the sort of, you know, and you're right, the government has been trying to fix education. They talk about being laser-focused on education and what that means. And actually, from the sort of school's perspective and teacher's perspective, they're sort of focusing on the wrong bits. For us, it's the significant unmet need we see in school that's actually the issue. It's not, you know, how much reading you do in a day. Don't get me wrong, all that stuff's important. How much reading, how much writing, how much maths, you know, all of that stuff there is important. But it's actually the students with specific learning needs in year 11, they're not getting met. The student with neurodiversity that's not got support, or the student who's got mental health issues who can't get the support they need. And that's putting so much pressure on them and on the school and on the teacher that it doesn't actually, you know, you can't teach and learn in those environments. And so the government seems to be fixing education, but sort of from the teacher's perspective, kind of focusing on the wrong bits.
One of the main criticisms of NCA that's been brought up is that it's a system that's easy for some students to game. Do you think this is true? And if it is true, is it a problem?
I think it's I'm unhappy with that concept, because it implies the students are doing something wrong, and they're not. They're using actually NCA as it was meant to be, as it was designed, to allow you to create a qualification that shows your skill set, shows what you're good at, and all those other things there. That was the point of it. That was the point of NCA, is to, you know, not just have a blunt number at the end of the year going, you got 62%. It was meant to show, hey, you're good at essays, you're not good at graphs, you're brilliant at, I don't know, debating, whatever. That was the point of it, and to show the skills that you could do. Now, has it gone too far? I think it probably has, because we've lost some of the coherency in the qualification. So, you know, I'm a history teacher, so your qualification of history, so you're good at history, for instance, or you're good at maths, or you're good at science, or whatever. We have lost a wee bit of that, but a blunt number is sort of what's been suggested by the government. It doesn't actually also tell you anything either. You know, like, you're 65%, well, what does that mean? You know, you're 65% good at essays? Like, what does that actually mean? So I think it is true, but it's also the way the system was designed. So you can't really punish the students for that. And if we are having a change of system, then it needs to also meet the needs of the students, of the schools, and of universities, polytechnics, other groups.
And, I mean, the change that's been proposed, a switch back to an exam-based system, do you think it'll meet those needs, or do you think it'll fall short?
I think it depends on how it's done. So, for instance, if it's all focused on one big exam at the end of the year, I don't think that's going to reach. It's not going to do what it claims it's going to do. And there is benefits of an exam system, don't get me wrong, but there's also deficits. You know, there's also issues with it, that one-off test to establish your whole assessment. And also, not every subject should be assessed by an exam. Not every bit of knowledge or skill should be assessed by an exam. And also, I get very frustrated when they say, you know, students need to prepare for the world outside of school. Look, I've been out of school 20 years, 20 plus years, and I've never done a three-hour exam in my working career. It's not a thing you do. So I take all that with a bit of a pinch of salt. But it would help with coherence. It would help with consistency. But the flip side of that too is that I worry that it's going to lead to this all this sameness in education. Because if you go into this knowledge-rich, or I call it content-specific curriculum, then everyone's doing the same thing. And it becomes a very, the sameness of your education, you know, and some people say that's a good thing. Some people say that's a bad thing. So it'll be really interesting to see where this goes eventually.
And we've talked about how the changes that have been pushed to NCA have been marketed at parents, right? That's the largest voter group that this is going to be looking at. And it sort of meant that the perspectives of, you know, students and teachers have been put to the sidelines. If we're thinking about teachers, how will the NCA changes affect, you know, teachers in the workplace and their workloads moving forward?
So definitely the curriculum NCA changes will be significant workload, huge workload. I mean, this is the biggest change in our education system in a generation, probably as big as when NCA first came in. So that was in the early 2000s. So this is, you know, changing from school start to NCA. There's a similar sort of level of change. And even if it's, you know, the change is good, whatever, if without a workforce to do it, it's going to be really difficult. The government has put really tight timeframes, not impossible timeframes, but tight ones that have to, everything has to be met. So we need a workforce, we need the support, we need the resources, because if we don't have that, this will fall over. It's as simple as that. And so that's really where the workload becomes manageable, is having the right resources at the right time to manage the change. But we've just got to wait and see what that means in practice, in reality. We know the level one rollout was done poorly, and that had a significant impact on how things are done in schools. And so we don't want to see that happen with this incredibly significant change.
As you mentioned, there's some criticism of the decisions that the government has made around education, particularly on how they've been implemented and actually affected teachers and students in schools. What would teachers want, I guess, to see from the government moving forward? What kind of practical changes would be benefiting teachers, students, schools, and the education system moving forward?
So one of our big issues is that, as I mentioned earlier, that unmet need, because that drives everything in a school. You know, it drives so much of our resourcing, of our teacher time, and all those issues. And we know that there's not the support in the communities. You know, mental health is a really good example. The community mental health is not there in most communities. And so it's left up to schools to manage that. And so you have guidance counsellors who are doing stuff, you know, they can do it, but they shouldn't be. They should be dealt in the community. And then so they're pushing stuff down to deans, dealing with stuff who, you know, they shouldn't be dealing with, should be at the guidance council level. And this all gets pushed down the system. And at the end of the day, it increases workload for staff, and actually students miss out. So we need every young person maximised to their full potential to solve the problems of the future of this world. And so we can't do that if that's not happening, if we're leaving students behind. And any system change, you know, whatever, we change an NCA to this, then we need to make sure it's not going to leave students behind, and it's going to support people to be the best they can be. You know, there's concerns even from the ministry that this will result in more students not achieving or failing, I guess it'll be the new language. And so that's really disappointing that change might happen. So there's lots of wait and see in this space, but we'll just have to wait and see.
I also spoke to lecturer in teacher education at the University of Canterbury, David Pomeroy, starting out by asking why NCA was initially established.
Well, NCA was a reaction to the previous system, you know, school cert, sixth form certificate and bursary, that firstly it was based against a scale, so there was this assumption that a certain proportion of students would fail, so if they all got good marks in a particular year, they were scaled down. So there was this idea that only a certain proportion of students are good enough to pass, and so we need to standardise the marks down towards that. There was also not much space for anything outside of the kind of traditional academic subjects, so there was a more limited range of subjects that you could take than there is now.
There's also been some concerns in discussions of what the new system would look like. Obviously, it's under consultation at the moment, so we don't have exact details on anything yet. But there's been some concerns that, you know, some students could end up having a significantly worse time if the system were to be changed. Can we quantify this? You know, what kind of impacts would that have on some students, and what would that look like in terms of their outcomes from the education system?
So I think there's a couple of risks. One is that students will be pushed into pathways where they may still pass and gain a school qualification, but they'll be either pushed by their schools or choose themselves strategically to take a pathway that closes down options for the future. So I guess just to give an example, if we think about the more traditional academic subjects, say maths and English, at the moment, a student who's kind of sitting somewhere in the middle in terms of their confidence or background achievement, who thinks they might or might not pass, they can take a course that gives them the option of not sitting some externals, but they're still doing that learning. They're still doing some maths or English. Whereas in the new system, they're going to have to decide, do I back myself to pass the whole course, including the external exam? And if not, might they stay away from that? So I think one of the concerns is that students will self-select or be nudged by their schools into pathways that make them miss out on quality learning. The other major concern, really, is that because you pass or fail a whole subject, it's just higher stakes. And the consequences of failing are much more serious. So what will happen is some students will opt out of subjects, but some students will fail subjects. And they can't just, they can't just go back and redo another standard. And the current consultation documents don't make it clear whether they'll have the opportunity to reset a standard, to retake a subject in the following year. But I guess the consequences of passing or failing are higher. So those who will fail are going to have to deal with much more severe consequences and probably an increase in anxiety as a result of those.
There's been some criticism of NCA and the education system in Aotearoa in general that it focuses more on qualifications rather than education and learning. Do you think these criticisms are valid and that a new system or the new system could go towards addressing these?
I think it's valid that because there's been, because assessment's done in smaller chunks, and so students tend to be assessed more frequently, there is more of an emphasis on assessment, and it feels different to have three or four internal assessments during a year and then an exam than it does to just have an exam or have one internal and an exam. So yes, I think there's been more of a focus on assessment. Whether that takes away from learning, I think there's not really a strong case for that. In some ways, assessment motivates our learning, so having that frequent assessment can be a good thing. So I don't think it's true that we've been assessing at the expense of learning. I think what the assessment system has done is made the learning in some cases a bit more fragmented and incoherent because you're being assessed on just part of a subject. You can kind of focus on that and you never need to make the connections. So it has had a bit of a fragmentation effect on some subjects. But I wouldn't say that assessments replace learning, no.
The ability of some students to game the system was brought up by Minister Sanford as a potential issue with NCA and, you know, the flexibility in that and, you know, students being able to get all of their credits from internals and then maybe not take exams or in other cases. Do you think this is a significant problem with the system?
I don't think it's a significant problem. I think it's a significant problem if it affects whether the students are doing the learning. So in some cases, there'll be students who decide not to sit an exam, decide not to sit an assessment, and so they don't make as much of an effort or they don't show up for that particular part of learning. So yeah, it can be a problem if it results in a lack of learning. It can also be a problem not from students gaming the system, but from schools offering only a certain selection of standards. So it's both students and schools that are looking at any system a bit strategically to think, what can I do to get a good result? And so schools, not surprisingly, want to offer their students good pathways to qualifications. And that's been one of the downfalls, I guess, and where Minister Sanford does have a good point, is that sometimes students or schools will decide to avoid important learning because it's perceived to be a higher risk of a bad outcome in terms of assessment.
You also mentioned, you know, some of the flexibility of NCA. You know, under the previous school cert system, we didn't have as many subjects for people to take, and there wasn't as much flexibility in those options there. When I spoke to some students earlier as part of this episode, they said they really appreciated how flexible NCA was in terms of subjects and in terms of providing for students across a range of interests and abilities. Do you think we'll see some of that flexibility returning if the system is overhauled?
Well, no, I think it's going to reduce the flexibility, and that's one of the key changes. And there's quite a lot of sort of fluff and renaming that probably won't have a huge effect on students' experiences of going to school. You know, renaming the outcomes from merit merit excellence achieved to marks out of 100, that's not going to be a fundamental change of what it's like going to school. The real core of what's changing is that subjects are now whole subjects. So whereas before you could choose to take some math standards or some photography standards as part of a wider course, or you could choose to take a course that had some standards but not others, now at least in year 12 and 13, you take it or you don't. And so there will be reduced flexibility, and it will seem like a higher stakes decision which courses to take. And that's not just because the courses are whole courses and you do them or you don't, or whole school subjects, but it's also because to get the certificates, the certificate and advanced certificate, you need to pass 4 out of your 5 subjects. So that makes that subject choice quite a high stakes decision. If you're taking 2 subjects where you're not sure whether you're going to come through with a pass, you might take the safe option and choose a different subject, even if that would be valuable learning.
We're seeing a lot of concerns over what the new system could look like. But we've also seen, you know, concerns over the past few years, especially from, you know, students, teachers, academics and the government about NCA as a system and the flaws that it has. There's obviously something that needs to change here. What kind of change do you think is necessary? And do you think this is the right move, or perhaps the government should be going down a different path?
Well, I think the government needed to change. But I think, so they're currently redeveloping curricula and a whole bunch of different subjects right now. And it's sort of happening in the wrong order because we're being asked to provide opinions in this consultation on a change to the assessment system, and we don't know what the system is going to be assessing. So it's very difficult to say, you know, if you're a maths teacher and thinking about your feedback on this, you don't know what the curriculum is going to look like. So it's very difficult to provide feedback on the process that's going to assess that learning when you don't know what the learning is. So I think something needed to change. And what I hope is that through the consultation process, there'll be some important details ironed out, and that some of those fishhooks that seem unanswered in what they've proposed so far, like what happens if a student fails, that they think very carefully about how that looks.
At the start of putting together this episode, I also wanted to speak to Education Minister Erica Stanford. When I reached out, however, I didn't get a reply. I also reached out to the Ministry of Education, where a representative said it would be inappropriate to discuss the changes until consultation finishes on September 15th. You can submit feedback on the proposed changes through the link in the podcast description. Thanks for listening to this episode of Beeline. Thanks to all of our guests, students Jed and Kenehimana, President of Te Wehingarua, the Post-Primary Teachers Association, Chris Abercrombie, and Lecturer in Teacher Education at the University of Canterbury, David Pomeroy. Ka kite.
Thanks for listening to Beeline, your 95 BFM news podcast, delivering straight-up news.